Susan Jacoby joins us. The book is Why Baseball Matters, and I think it's terrific. It really is. It's an easy read. Susan's the author of 11 previous books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Age of American Unreason. She's a frequent contributor to the national publications, including The Times and The Washington Post. Susan, how are you today?
I'm fine. After your intro, I mean, I started my baseball fan career. I grew up in Chicago. We were Southsiders. I started as a White Sox fan in my grandfather's bar. But we also went to Cub games in the 1950s and 60s because, for whatever reason, Cub fans and White Sox fans then didn't hate each other the way New York Mets fans and New York Yankees fans do.
Well, it's great that you brought that up because part of this, David Rapp wrote a beautiful book. You've got to take a look at it. You'll love it. Tinker to Evers to Chance. Of course, the legendary double play combination of the Cubs. But he talks about Chicago baseball and the way Chicago sort of galvanized as a city in the early 1900s as it was learning who they were and, you know, the stockyards and all that, that people used to hang out in the bars. There were thousands of bars all over Chicago, and that's where people went to sort of get things done.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, when it first started, well, I mean, one thing you've got to remember, and I talk about this, is that baseball is a game that started in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic states, New Jersey, New York. And really, baseball did not start to become a national game until after the Civil War, for the worst of reasons. Northern prisoners of war played baseball in the Southern prison camps, and Southern prisoners of war played baseball and learned it from Northern prisoner, you know, in the Northern prisoner of war camps for them. So that 1900 in Chicago was earlier in Chicago's baseball history as a baseball town than New York was, because baseball started in New York and in Hoboken, New Jersey. So that's one of the things, is part of Chicago's identity as a city was sort of grew up with baseball.
Absolutely true. That's exactly what David Rapp wrote about. The identity of Chicago got together with the Comiskeys in early 1900s and the Cubs and that wild pennant race, and then they met in the World Series, and then the Cubs were the dominant team over those years. So you're right. You know your Chicago history.
I do.
Yes, you do. You know a lot more. Susan Jacoby, the book is very sweet, Why Baseball Matters. Tell us how it came about. And then I want to get to the end of it, because you give some pretty darn good suggestions to baseball of how to remain relevant in the world.
Well, I've always wanted to write a book about baseball. I've always been a serious fan. I say this in my book that, with the exception of making love and reading, nothing has given me more pleasure and interest over my whole life than baseball. It goes back to my earliest memories, and I think that's true of most real fans. I learned how the game was played in my grandfather's bar every Saturday afternoon. It was still a game of the week. I'd sit there, you know, drinking my little Shirley Temple cocktails and listening to all these guys talk about it. And also, it goes along, people ask, because one of the main things I am is an American intellectual historian. What does that have to do with baseball? It has a lot to do with baseball. Baseball is the thinking person's game. You can't understand baseball, and that's one of, even though baseball is a financially, at the moment, more profitable than it's ever been, it's got a problem, which is that it has the oldest fan base of any major sport, although the NFL, especially if they keep on with this nonsense, is going to soon rival baseball. And I think the reason is fairly simple, and I talked to a lot of teenagers for this book. Basically, people are growing up in a culture, and I'm not talking about people who are kids, younger people in general, people in their 30s, in which they're used to seeing action at literally at an instant click. Baseball isn't like that. It takes you a while to learn to understand baseball. When I was talking to some of these teenagers, I asked them about the commissioner's idea that if you just, you know, take 15 minutes off the game time, it's going to get more younger fans. Every kid I interviewed said whether the game was 3 hours long or 2 hours long was of no importance to them at all. They were both too long. So I think that just the idea that by making the game shorter, I think Tony Clark, who's the head of the Players Union, whom I also interviewed, said, no, you've got to school people into the game better. And I think that's right. I can easily see how somebody who doesn't understand, for example, what pitch selection means, you know, how you get a guy out who really loves an outside pitch, you know, by giving him one pitch and then, you know, getting him out high and inside. You have to spend some time around baseball and around people who know about it to understand that. You cannot learn it from looking at your iPhone for 5 minutes.
No, I'm with you 100%. So you go by chapters, which is kind of fun, looking at the chapter headings. And I'm just going to mention a couple of them. And who goes out to the ball game and who doesn't? The long game and impatient minds. The national pastime and the national culture of distraction. And the conclusion, why baseball matters. And then the afterward is Susan's suggestion to the owners. So yeah, I think you've covered the beginning of it already. So what do you tell the owners? How do you make it better?
Okay. There are things that could be done. And first of all, it's not that MLB isn't aware of this. They have, for instance, a good program called Play Ball, now in 146 cities, which is just taking kids under 10, you know, providing them with play with a stick and ball. The kind of thing, you know, frankly, that when, you know, really more than 20 years ago when people were growing up, you went out, you threw the ball against your garage door, you took your catcher's mitt out, and that's what you did. But unsupervised play is one of the many things that has gone from American childhood now. That's a good thing. But I think one thing, it amazes me that the owner of the Baltimore Orioles was the only person to think of this. They have a policy where if you're an adult and you pay full price for an upper deck seat, they're not giving away, you know, the prime seats in the ballpark, you can bring two kids for free. This is a great idea.
I love it.
So, in other words, who doesn't want a free game?
Right.
And going to a game with your parent, I don't know anybody who's a fan who didn't have an older adult in their life who explained the game to them. For me, it was my grandfather. For some people, it's their parents. Baseball took in $10 billion in revenues. Every owner of every major league team can afford to do that, and they will be building their fan base. Because it's not that I'm not one of those people who thinks you have to go to the ballpark all the time to enjoy baseball. Mostly for baseball. For me, it's television. Like most adults, I can't go to night games during the week and go to work the next day. But if you on the weekends, another thing that would be great is if every weekend game were a day game. That would also facilitate people bringing kids out to the ball game.
Well, these are all, the book is Why Baseball Matters. Susan Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-Y, is the author, and a pleasure having you on. You explained things so beautifully. These are things we wish baseball would do, but money always gets in the way. That's always the problem.
Well, this kind of thing, free tickets for kids who go with an adult, money is not getting in the way. Stupidity is getting in the way. Any baseball owner who doesn't see that investing in that is a good thing. If you have only a quarter of your television, national television audience, for example, is people under 35. In that situation, if you don't get more young people in, it doesn't matter how much money you're pulling in today. The game has no future. And one of the things, unfortunately, I didn't get to in my book because it happened after the book was written and you know, being published, is the Supreme Court decision which legalizes gambling on sports in every state. I know that this is not just baseball. The owners of all professional sports teams are absolutely salivating. Well, the states can change their laws. First of all, anybody who's wanted to bet on baseball in the past, legally or illegally, can do it. But let me put it this way. Those of us who know the history of the game, you're talking from way back in the 19th century when baseball was all about gambling, to the Black Sox scandal, to Pete Rose. When sports get involved, when baseball has gotten involved with gambling, it has not ended well. And they're not going to make true fans by just providing more opportunities to gamble. They may get more revenue. What MLB wants, I love it, they call it an integrity fee of 1%. I would call it a greed fee.
I call it a cover fee. We used to call that in Miami Beach. It was the cover.
Yeah, cover charge.
Yeah, cover charge is what.
Yeah.
What it, but you know, it's fine. Susan Jacoby with us. A pleasure to have her here. The book is Why Baseball Matters. Baseball players today have grown up around DraftKings and this kind of stuff. Many are not afraid of it. Others say, well, you know, if gambling goes to the extreme where, you know, we have people betting thousands of dollars on a pitch or my at bat, and it doesn't go well, then maybe that would, you know, create an uncomfortable situation.
Well, also, you can also imagine television broadcasts in which they talk about the betting lines.
Well,
you know, for
but
the
see, they
pitch.
Want more. They want more
and,
eyeballs, and they
and
figure
that,
that's the way they're going to.
And
get
that
it.
Would be, and that would be an awful thing,
yeah.
because it would mean that you'd be sort of. I'm not saying that baseball is going to do this, and it's not. Baseball is not the only sport, but just promoting gambling again. I'm not saying they're going to do it is not the only way. I had another suggestion in my book, because one of the things baseball not only is the has the oldest fan base, it has the most male fan base of any sport. There is no reason for this. Women are more interested in all sports of all kinds today than they ever were when I was growing up. You know, there were never girls playing in Little League when I was growing up. It was unthinkable. There are lots of them now. And one of the things that baseball ought to do, Major League Baseball ought to do, is it ought to be doing tremendous promotions to every women's organization. Promoting baseball, first of all, as the safe sport for your high school kid. Because baseball, we now know what we didn't know again when I was growing up, that concussions for young people can have permanent effects on the brain. In baseball, it's not that there are never any concussions, but it's always because something has happened wrong. In other words, somebody has made a mistake. It's not like football, in which concussions are part, they're built into the way the game is played. Baseball, I would much rather have my kid playing baseball than football in high school. It's safer.
Well, I think you're right, and we'll wrap it up with this. Hire a tech-savvy kid to design a software program aimed at helping elementary school children learn math through learning baseball.
Yes.
And I'm going to mention this to you. I have a project that I've got. It's called AmericanInnings.org. And if you go to the website, you'll see it. And what the project is all about, taking my baseball interviews, and it's United States history through the eyes of baseball.
That's just great.
Just as you talked about, and this is for free, and we're going to give it to high schools for high. And I've talked to high school professors, and
that's wonderful.
And you have a little 3 to 5 minute vignette with my interview, with some pictures behind it, on a piece of American history, and it may be Chicago coming together as a city. It may be the Italian immigration and the sons of the Italians joining Major League Baseball.
Or the whole story of the integration of baseball.
Of course, and that's, you know, that's easy. The Depression and all that, the World Wars, how baseball was part of it, how baseball got exported all around the world. So that's what I'm doing because I want people.
This is a great idea.
Yeah, go to take a look at it, AmericanInnings.org.
I sure will.
.org, and we love contributions too, but we've done about 12 of these vignettes already, and there are some that are on the website that you can see, and you'll get the idea. But I love your ideas. You're a real thinking person, and if someone wants...
Baseball is the thinking person's sport.
Well, they got you as a fan, so
it's both its asset and its problem.
All right, tell me how we get the book. How does one get it?
One gets it where you get most books. I hate to say it, Mr. Trump, from Amazon.
All right.
and from BN.com and also lots of independent bookstores, which San Francisco has a lot of.
Yeah, we have the Book Tree up in Montclair where I get my stuff up.
Yeah. San Francisco, like New York, is still well stocked with independent bookstores, and it's available in a lot of them. And they just an audiobooks just bought it, which is great for people, you know, who have hearing problems.
Very good.
And sight problems, I mean.
All right, good. Well, if you ever get out this way, we'd love to see you personally on the show, but the book is really fun.
I get out that your way as often as I can persuade some publisher to pay for the trip.
I like it. All right, well, keep in touch with us and check out AmericanInnings.org. I think we'd love to get your reaction to
it. I'm going to do it right now.
All right, thanks, Susan. Good luck on the book.
Thank you very much.
All right, very good. Boy, it's a good book, Why Baseball Matters. She knows what she's talking about. More coming up on the Sports Leader.